Right now it is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. You can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Comprehensive look at news, the latest news and events, and a calendar of coming events, which is second to none in our tri-state region. And we always welcome in Marcy and David. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Now, How are you today?
Good. Do you remember those hobo days where they used to have that stick and they would have that?
I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. Yep.
It's not that way. It's not that way anymore.
A little pack with a bandana with stuff in it.
That's right. That's not. See, all the kid would take to run away from home now is their iPhone. Okay.
Mm. But yes, and that's all he would need because he could order whatever he needed
exactly
along the way
right.
with that.
And
iPhone.
You could and a Venmo account or something.
Well, and in the and in his little sack, he would have to have a charge cord.
Yeah,
that's all he needs.
That's it. Not much else. All right. Well, this I loved. I'm sorry. I laughed out loud, even though it's not a funny story. But when I looked at your first story, and this is what it says, folks. It's official. The troubled Housatonic Water Works, the private water company that serves the village of Housatonic within Great Barrington, is less than worthless to the tune of negative $25.2 million, according to an engineer firm. What must that have crushed the person who runs the water company?
Well, it's disgraceful.
Well, that's the problem. It's a private water company.
Yeah.
It harks back to the old days in which, you know, our utilities, even our roads, were privately owned. But in this case, this is an outdated method of having a public, you know, a resource like a water system, privately owned, and not able to draw upon the tax, you know, base of the community for its support, and it can only operate with the revenues from the rates, you know. So when it has a major, major repairs to do, they can't do it.
And the water is disgusting.
Right. We have a picture of it. It's brown.
I mean, we've had many stories about this, but this is really, I mean, their water is disgusting. You can't drink it. I mean, it's brown, and I don't know how people cook or bathe if they live in Housatonic.
What's the answer? Yeah. What's the answer to this, though? I mean, it's a private company. Do you force it to close down? I mean, what's right? What's wrong? What's right for the owner? What's right for the townspeople? There's so many questions.
Well, I know, and now I mean, this is the question that our reporter poses. I mean, if the town acquires the waterworks, or if the company is merged with Great Barrington's own water utility, the new owner would be stuck with the town, tens of millions of dollars in deferred capital expenses. And this is what a study by an engineering firm just told the Great Barrington Board of Select Board that. I mean, this is in such disrepair that, anybody who takes it over is going to have to, virtually rebuild the water system. And it seems that, who else but the town would do it? Housatonic is part of the town of Great Barrington.
Yeah, it's a little village. Yep.
Yeah, it's a village within the town.
Somebody is going to get the short end of the stick here. Now, the people are getting the short end of the stick.
They are.
But someone's going to have to step forward, whether it's a town, whether it's another company, and decide to take this over. Maybe with the passage...
Well, no other company is going to take this over.
Well, maybe with now the possible passage of this fix for our for the economy, Build America Better, maybe there's money in there for something like this as well, because there is money in there to get rid of lead pipes.
That's true.
Well, the question is whether there's a will, on the part of the town and or even on the part of the owner of this little water system to take advantage of any public funds that are available right now. You know,
And also, I mean, can a private company be the recipient?
Well, those are the whole things. Someone's going to have to just take a big loss on this, because it just can't be allowed to continue. It you know, it sounds terrible, and I know there's going to be, oh, this is America, it's free. No, it's not. You know, when you're a quasi-public company, and even though it's a private company, it's a quasi-public company, and you serve people and their health is at risk, that's the most important thing.
Right.
Well, you know, back in the day, you might say, you know, these kinds of public utilities were privately owned, and it became evident that, you know, the cost of maintaining them and expanding them, for that matter, to meet the growth of the community, it had to be shared by the community at large. It was the only way to do it, and this is just an anachronism. This little water system in Housatonic, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's an outdated, for a private company to try to maintain this water system with rates that are reasonable is impossible right now. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be interesting to see how this all works out. But it's one of those stories that, you know, you read the stories in Detroit and other major cities, and then you come right home, and it's right there with that. And, you know, hopefully there's some way where the private owner can just give up on the company and maybe get something back in tax breaks. But it's going to be interesting to see how it develops, because it's not a problem that can be allowed to just stand still.
Right.
Well, remember, you know, this is not, as I said, back in the day, the highways were the same way, were privately owned.
Yeah.
And they were called turnpikes.
Yeah.
That's what it means.
Yeah.
Well, there's one over in, as you go towards Millbrook, the Shunpike,
which was a privately owned road.
Right. That's exactly right. That person used to collect tolls from anybody going over
the
road.
It's the same kind of situation.
A sad story out of Great Barrington. Someone who has supported this radio station from day one, and after 50 years, the Snap Shop is calling it quits. And so many people have gone to the Snap Shop from the tri-state region for so many different things over the years.
I know it's
really
a loss to the community. Really, I mean, it's one of those little niche businesses that it was wonderful to have it. I mean, I had some photos. Some family pictures, you know, when my 104-year-old aunt died, and we didn't have negatives, and we wanted to reproduce them, and I could go to the Snapshot, and they made me copies. You know, I don't know where else I would go for something like that. I'm sure that there's some place around, you know, online I could find it, but it was so nice just to go to Railroad Street and have this local business do a very good job.
Well, what comes to my mind is many, many, many years ago, my father had one of the first Leica cameras, and if you don't know, Leica was a very, very famous...
I have one.
Yeah. And
actually.
But it wouldn't work. Guess what?
Well,
I found it in my father's stuff. I took it up there, and they fixed it. They got it working.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and what would you do now if you had to do that?
Well, you'd have to try to find the company, and you'd be charged an outrageous sum and fee and stuff like that.
No, you'd have to send it to New York.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things.
Right.
These guys helped everybody out, and their run has been legendary. So I wish them well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really too bad, but it's also, you know, for their business. You know, the real estate on Railroad Street in Great Barrington has become very pricey.
Yeah.
And
but he owned the building, I think.
But, you know,
yeah,
it's just
maybe
a
not.
Different
right.
era right now for a little business like his,
yes.
unfortunately.
Well,
right. Although I think he owned the building. I mean, I think he owned the building, although I don't know. I mean, actually, our story doesn't say whether he owned the building. It's just that he's closing the... he's closing the shop, but the building has been bought by a woman named Carrie Chen and her husband Stanley Cohen, and they're very entrepreneurial. And Carrie has plans for the building. I'm not sure what they are yet. I don't think she's revealed this, but she started the Kasana Tea Shop in Hillsdale. Which she has closed because she said she just couldn't get help. to run it.
That is a problem that is throughout our entire, every, you name any industry, it's
including us.
Yeah. It's, no, it's true. It's just, it's unbelievable. I was trying to explain to some underwriter that here at the station, I'm responsible for editing, putting together, we have over 350 clients, and you just can't find, you just cannot find people to work.
I know.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
We have the same problem. I mean, you know, we've got members, we've got advertisers, we've got writers, and David and I are dealing with all of them, and it's exhausting.
Well, it is. Well, we'll start feeling sorry for ourselves, but it's because everybody else is facing the same problems as us too.
I know.
Your next story, the issue of zoning. You're a Great Barrington selectman and a columnist are looking at the issue of zoning. And I think this is nowadays whether it creates more problems and issues than it solves. And, you know, I don't know why anybody would want to be on a zoning commission in any of the towns around here, because from what I see around here in Sharon and Salisbury and Lakeville and all, you have very wealthy people that have very, very, very expensive attorneys, and you have volunteers trying to handle all this.
Yes, right. Volunteers who have other jobs.
Yeah.
These people who are on the zoning board and the Great Barrington Select Board, and the other towns too. I mean, these are very demanding jobs, and people get angry at you, and and you're not paid, and in many cases, it's a lot of work to get up to speed to deal with these issues when you're
in this case, amateur. The zoning issue is an interesting one, because there was a town plan that was done a number of years ago to determine what areas are zoned and for what purposes. And it periodically should look at that plan so that to see whether it's up to date and whether it could really is reasonable for current status of things. And so the town of Great Barrington went through a really comprehensive of a process of town meetings and reaching out to the public and having advisors come from all over to help establish a town zoning plan. But, you know, periodically you have to update it, and that's what people need to realize, that why we have zoning and why it may seem restrictive, but it's a way of ordering and preserving the character of the town and property values too.
Yeah, in Connecticut, the towns always have to put together a 10-year plan ahead, and they update it every couple of years just to make sure. But it's still, especially like what happened in the past year and a half, things moved so quickly. People moved into the area so quickly. Houses were purchased so quickly. I just feel so bad for people that are involved in zoning, because it just had to be a never-ending cycle.
Yes, it is, and it can be quite acrimonious too.
Yeah, it just is. You just can't win. You just can't win.
Right.
No, but in the end, it's trying to preserve the values of the town's real estate and people's investments.
And the layout of the town, the the town has been through, is so it's important. The next story you have features an environmentalist talking about the new Marlboro Meeting House.
Talking ash. Yeah, I mean, there is a program that's going to take place this Saturday at the new Marlboro Meeting House, where a very, very important environmentalist named
Bill McKibben
and Sue Halpern, who is the editor of Ms. Magazine, are going to be speaking. But Bill McKibben is a star in the environmental movement. He's been, I mean, David has known him for, you know, 30 years.
He's terrific.
And he's been, you know, warning about global warming.
Right.
So he's coming to speak. You know, you need a reservation. I don't know if they're charging, but you need a reservation. Maybe there's a small fee to go.
A series that takes place in New Marlboro that's an ongoing series where they have really important, they address really important issues, not just local issues, but national issues, and they have very distinguished writers.
Well, you know, the local aspect of experts coming into our area, and this is throughout the Tri-State region, and speaking on national issues, because everything national, sooner or later, turns out local. We are so lucky around here to have so many people that are willing, that live here, but are also willing to travel here and make these presentations.
Yeah, well, Simon Winchester addressed this particular event last year, and he's a local resident, actually.
Yeah, well, McKibben lives in he lives in Vermont, doesn't he?
Yep.
But there's still there's
Sue Halpern. I mean, I didn't mean to downplay her, because she's also you know, a very distinguished expert on science and technology.
And the great thing is they're willing to come into our community, because you do enough of these things, and it's the old grassroots theory. You build your base from the ground up, and hopefully get enough people locally that start thinking statewide and nationally.
Right.
It really makes a difference too over time.
How
concerned about the public welfare and public issues like this. The general public is, you know, and so it's a, you know, it makes for a really informed and enlightened community.
Well, just think, they come and they speak. Parents and grandparents hear it. Parents and grandparents then pass that down to their kids and grandchildren. And before you know it, in 10, 15, 20 years, you have a pretty up-to-date population that is very aware of what's been going on and what's coming up.
Yeah, you know, we're awfully lucky. We take it for granted, perhaps, here, but we're lucky that we're in this area.
Yep, absolutely.
These kind of events are sponsored and, you know, brought forward for everybody,
well,
you know?
Right. I mean, and I was just looking at that. I mean, this is, there's a charge of $20 for a ticket, but anyone under 21 years old is welcome for free.
Just smart. Building your future. Yep, towards the future.
Right.
You know, you've got an interesting story here. I never even thought about this, but one business seems to be thriving during the pandemic. And that is the musical instrument business.
Yes, right. This is, you know, we have what we call Business Monday. We try to bring together our business articles on Monday and business news. And so this is a story that we published as part of Business Monday, that the local music industry has found a new customer base as a result of the pandemic. People are buying musical instruments more than they were before.
Well, they're staying at home, maybe.
Yeah, they're staying before. Whereas professional musicians have had a difficult year because they haven't been able to perform. But the music stores, you know, we have this wonderful instrument maker here in Sheffield called the Magic Flute.
Oh, yeah, they're great.
Which makes ukuleles, and I think they make other instruments too, but and they are gorgeous. We were there recently. They were an advertiser of ours, and they advertise in our magazine, and David and I went to see them, and they have these wonderful, beautiful instruments. And bows too. They sell bows for other. Do they make violins or they just make ukuleles?
No, just ukuleles.
Just ukuleles.
They are gorgeous.
They have been an underwriter for us off and on for a long time, and they're creative. interesting people. That's well, that goes to the area we live in, the entire tri-state region.
Does.
It really, it really does.
It
shows.
Yeah, we're lucky. We're lucky that you know, this kind of creative, these creative impulses
and people settled here.
Opportunities are, you know, are able to flourish here. We maybe take it for granted, but it's really quite a blessing.
But there's also woods in Pittsfield that sells, you
Wood
know,
Brothers.
Wood Brothers that sells musical instruments, and they say, you know, that they have, you know, they're really limited only by the supply chain, which is a problem.
Yeah.
But they will sell, you know, guitars, keyboards, and banjos, everything, but their supply chain, unfortunately.
I've used them because they sell strings.
Yeah.
You know, when you need a string, you can go up there. Yeah.
All right.
I want to move on because this is an interesting story that the pandemic, which seems to be ending and that isn't ending and back and forth. But despite all this, the local venues, Tango and Jacob's Pillows, as you report, have gotten very creative in what they're doing.
Oh, yeah. This African Fiesta that is in Pittsfield is quite something. And that's...
It was a free outdoor outdoor performances
concert,
in Pittsfield.
And we have a couple of writers, Carolyn and Eli Neuberger, who are you know, avid dance and music writers.
And fans.
and they
are extremely interesting because Eli is a retired pediatrician who also plays the tuba and has a degree from Juilliard, and Carolyn, his wife, is a retired psychiatric social worker who is also a wonderful writer and artist. And so together they do reviews for us for Jacob's Pillow and Tanglewood, they write the reviews, and Carolyn provides drawings, which she does during the performance. I mean, she sits there in the dark. I mean, in this case, this year, luckily, I mean, Jacob's Pillow has been all outdoors and mostly during light, so she doesn't have to do it in the dark. But otherwise, she just sketches these things in the dark, and they're wonderful, wonderful drawings. And they illustrate their reviews with these drawings. So we are so lucky, again, I mean, the Berkshires is blessed with these incredibly talented people who have moved here. You know, they've retired here from their practices in Boston, and they live in Lenox, and they write for The Edge, and they do other things. But so we have, I mean, this is a wonderful review about Jacob's Pillow's African Fiesta.
That took place not just at Jacob's Pillow in Beckett, but also
in
Pittsfield.
Yeah, right.
So they brought dance to this particular kind of dance to the city of Pittsfield.
to the open air community.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We'll have to talk about the story about Tanglewood, liking that to the Olympics maybe next week.
Or people can read it.
Or they can read it.
On
The
Edge.
That's exactly right. The BerkshireEdge.com is the location. Anything going on in our region is available at the BerkshireEdge.com 24 hours a day. Guys, we'll speak to you next week. Stay cool.
Okay. Thank you. You too.
Take care.
Bye.
The Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio. You can find them at theberkshireedge.com.